Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented as a public service by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. That's Thomas, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I'll return in a moment with today's guests, Gary Klinger and Greg Krug of Lampire, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Some time back, they did a survey and they found that lots of people who live within a few miles of the Liberty Bell or the Statue of Liberty never visited either place. That happens around here, too. Just after the start of the French and Indian War, Bedford County became the gateway to the West with the opening of the Forbes Road, which we now call Route 30. In 1794, President George Washington had to come here to quell the Whiskey Rebellion. By 1913, the first transcontinental road for motor cars, the Lincoln Highway, was dedicated here, and the legendary Bedford Springs Resort still welcomes people from all over the world. With this kind of legacy, why keep it a secret? Spread the word about Bedford County, the history, the charm, and the regal Alleghenies. Bedford County, America's open door to the West.
You have probably seen articles about this outfit in the paper. In fact, I know you have because they've been in the Bedford Gazette. I know if you've had any connection to the Bedford County Development Authority, you probably know about this outfit. I am really excited about talking to these folks today because I have never seen this before, and I've always been curious about this organization called Lampire Laboratories. And with us, I have the president of the company, Greg Krug, and the general manager of the facility here in Everett, Gary Klinger. And these guys are amazing, but their facility is even more amazing now that I have seen it. So first of all, Greg, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to see us this morning. Appreciate it.
Lloyd, we're honored. Thank you very much for having us.
And Gary, you're a good sport, too. Gary arranged this interview, so I appreciate it very much. You're helping me out.
No problem.
I, first of all, want to learn a little bit about you guys because we have something in common with these gentlemen. We're both from the Philadelphia area, and I learned that Greg is a LaSalle guy, so that's pretty important. And if you don't know what LaSalle is, you just have to look it up because it's a killer place.
LaSalle College High School.
Yeah. So, Gary, are you from this area yourself?
Or? No, not originally. I moved here 11 years ago now.
So where did you live when you were a kid and all that?
Allentown, Bethlehem area.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
You know,
sure.
About an hour north of Philadelphia.
Yeah, the Lehigh Valley. Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's super. So anyway, we've all sort of ended up here in South Central Pennsylvania here in Bedford County, and it's just been a delight. Greg, this company was founded almost 40 years ago, I understand. And by you and a partner. Tell me about how that came about. Do you have a background in all of this, or how did it happen?
I was a student at that time. It was Delaware Valley College. Now it's Delaware Valley University, located in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And it was in between my sophomore and junior year in college. I was going for a job interview, and actually, as the story goes, I made a left instead of a right, and ended up getting a job at a very unique equine facility. And the long and short of it was that the gentleman that ran and owned the equine facility ended up selling it, and a company came there that wanted to buy special type of blood, sheep blood particularly, and horse blood to make blood auger plates for doing bacterial cultures. And one thing led to another, and it became my job to figure out how to bleed animals sterilely without using an anticoagulant to use this product as such.
Did you have a background in this kind of thing, or did you just learn, I guess, at Delaware Valley and other places? Or?
Yeah, Delaware Valley was a great college, great university now. And, I was studying the animal sciences. I had a strong animal science background before coming to the college, but it really helped me. The university was tremendous in helping me to grow this business and to start this business.
Well, I'm aware of it because I know that Delaware Valley is known for its huge ag program, and they've had that reputation for a very long time, almost 100 years.
Over 100 years.
over 100 years. Yeah. So it's terrific. You were able to parlay that interest and turn it into a company. So when did you found the company?
Well, the company, you know, was getting started at that point, but it wasn't until really after my graduation in 1977 that I was able to really put my full attention to it. And another thing about the university that was great is I had a great workforce there. So I could start with part-time students mm-hmm. helping me out. And I used the lab facility that was in Whippany, New Jersey. So I had a commute, in other words, from
Whippany. I know that. It's far.
Far. It was the third shift from midnight to 6 o'clock
in the morning.
You
drop it 287, do you think it's going to run out?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so for that, I was able to use that third shift from midnight till 6 o'clock in the morning. We'd go and bleed the animals during the day and find time for college in between.
Boy, that's great. Now, Gary, being a native of Lehigh Valley, did you work there before you became associated with this outfit?
I actually worked for Lampire in Eastern Pennsylvania facilities prior to coming out here.
So what did you do when you started at Lampire?
I was a lab tech doing PCR controls for mm-hmm. blood test kits.
Oh. And you worked your way up to running the lab here, it seems.
Yeah, I was offered to come out here in 2005.
Good for you.
And start setting this lab up.
Well, it's just been astounding to me to watch the growth of this thing, even the short period of time I've been here. You've just done a lot of things in the last just a few months. And Greg, I guess I want to pose this to you. A lot of people are familiar with the biopharma industry, and they think of drugs and pills and things of this nature. But what you're doing is something different, isn't it? It's kind of a couple of notches back from the actual manufacturer of things. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. We're what the coal mine is to the steel industry. We're the raw material supplier. A lot of our work initially had to do with diagnostics, the tests that would be used to help to diagnose disease in humans and animals. But now it's grown more, and we're involved with the pharma, the biotech, the life science, in helping in drug discovery. Our early stage drug discovery, as well as developing further diagnostics and new technologies where actually the animal becomes the bioreactor producing the drug. Hmm.
So you actually use the farm animals to help produce these serums and things that you're making here. Now, you have a big facility not far from Everett, south of Everett, 400-acre farm. What do you do on that?
There's a 400-acre farm there. We work with over 16 different species of animals. Mm. We work with fowl. We work with domestic farm animals. We work with all different types. Llamas is one of the animals you'll find on our farm. We actually work with other facilities, like in Florida, to supply alligator blood. So it's very unique. And how these different cells and different serums work, right, and the roles that they play.
So you get this out of these animals, and then it comes to you, Gary, in this lab. So what do you do with this raw material, so to speak?
Well, we're getting the blood, and what we want to do is get the serum and subsequently the antibody to the final strip manufacturer, and they're using that in their kit.
Well, I like your analogy to the coal mine versus the steel industry. And as I think you're a couple of notches back in the manufacturing process. So you don't make drugs here. You make the components that later are to make whatever they're going to make, a drug or a serum or whatever.
Right. You're not going to see Lampire's name on the final product, but we probably have something.
So I can't go to CVS and buy something made by Lampire.
not at this point, no.
Okay. Well, that's next. I see it in his eyes already. our guests are Gary Klinger, who is the lab manager and manager here of the Lampire Biological Laboratories in Everett, and the president and CEO, Greg Krug, who was very gracious to travel here from the Philadelphia area for this interview. I know that's the only reason you came here. You had nothing else to do, I'm sure. What got you to move to Everett, Bedford County? That's a very interesting move. I mean, it's 200 miles. It's not something that you wake up in the morning and say, let's go to Everett.
it was a great move. The gentleman who actually made the recommendation that we look at Everett, unfortunately, is no longer with us, but it was a veterinarian, Dan Burnside. It was an organization called Quakertown Vet, and one might say he was way ahead of his time in the life science industry, but Route 78 had opened up from New York into Pennsylvania, as you know, and it came a lot more successful for farmers to raise houses than to raise crops. So we lost our agricultural presence, and not just the farmland, but, you know, the support for the farmers, the feed mills, the equipment manufacturing, you know, tractors right. and all. So he recommended to us that we go further out where agriculture was going to have a presence for a long time. But yet there's great road services out here. I mean, you know, Washington, D.C., you have a straight shot, 2 hours, Philadelphia, 3, Pittsburgh, 2, State College is, you know, only about an hour, 15 hour and a half away. So it was really strategically located, and that's why he thought this would be a great location. Plus, he liked to come out here to hunt.
I mean, I found it amazing. I never seen this area until 3 years ago. My wife Jackie and I came here just to look around, and we rolled into Bedford. And as you both know, having been all over Pennsylvania, most towns in Pennsylvania don't look like Bedford and Everett.
Oh.
They look not so hot. Right. And I was astounded at how nice it is. And the Turnpike and I-99 and Route 70 and all these interconnecting roads and these big industrial parks. And I thought, you know what? I moved to 1965. That's all I could think of when I come here. The lifestyle, the way people are, people hold doors for you here. They're very pleasant. They're very nice. The children are polite. They say thank you. I mean, it's a shock. You know?
Yes. No, it's really Americana.
It really is.
And it's tremendous. And it's a great workforce, great people. The support that we've gotten from the Economic Development Group as well as, you know, the community, they've really stepped up to welcome us and help make us successful here.
Well, I just think it's great to have you here, and I hope you're here for many, many years. And in the course of my dealings with this radio program I started a couple of years ago, I've met some of the people that you also are very intimate with, and that is Betty Slayton of the BCDA and also the Bedford County Technical Center. I heard a presentation by the Technical Center recently, I think at a chamber meeting, about how you are using some of their folks to work here and intern here. Tell me a little bit about that, Gary.
Well, they have a couple good programs up there, the Senior Challenge being probably the most notable,
right.
Whereas seniors that have completed their graduation requirements early or have completed most of them have the ability to go out into the workforce to get some job experience.
Right.
And I've worked with a number of people that have come through both here and our farm facility, and they come in, they intern with us, they get to learn what we do in the lab, understand the process, get a little bit of a head start either on an early entry into a career or going off to college.
Hmm. So this gives them a little bit of a jump start if they're interested in getting into this biz eventually. And
right, and then there's also a good program, the Ag Bio program up there that Scott Myers runs that we look and help out with as much as possible. Where they do tours, we have students that come in and just observe us. We go up there and, you know, talk to him, talk to his students, and just try and coordinate as much as possible so that they're getting the best education to go into a scientific field.
You know, it must be terrific to be able to work with young people that you don't have to teach them about a farm animal. They're already acquainted because of where they live.
Right.
Have you found this to be so?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's definitely so.
Yeah.
And that, but, you know, talking about the program, one of the things that we've seen, and we've seen this with other schools that we work with as well, but particularly here, the administration was very unique in that they put a community college, you know, side by side with the right. tech program. But you find that these students now become stimulated. A student that might have not have been a student before, now because they see an opportunity, they see the vision, they really grasp to it. So having that, be able to take it to the next step before a tech program was considered, in other words, it stopped at that point.
Yeah.
But today, here in Bedford County, students have the opportunity to take that tech program to the next level and start on that further education, whether it's a 2-year, 4-year, it's tremendous.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people look at the tech center and say, well, okay, we're going to crank out a lot of truck mechanics and things like that, and that's fine, and they
right.
do. But to have a medical tech program where they can literally go to work right here in the county, because I know that Betty Slayton told us when we interviewed her, one of her biggest challenges is keeping the young here.
Definitely.
To keep them from going to your place in Pipersville or someplace to work, as opposed to staying here and having an opportunity. So you guys have provided a tremendous educational magnet and a place to work.
Let me tell you how this also helped Bedford County is that our growth is centered here, not back in Bucks County.
Right.
In other words, this is where we're doing the largest part of our expansion. And we're, you know, looking to continue that because of these very reasons.
Our guests are Gary Klinger and Greg Krug of the Lampire Biological Laboratories. And we're in their spacious office and lab facility right here in Everett, which is just off the old Route 26 right here in Everett. Someday, if I'm good, maybe they'll give me a tour of their 400-acre place. I'd like to see that sometime. That would
be our pleasure.
That would be great. We are going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to find out a little bit more about how these folks work with the Bedford County Development Authority and some other organizations here in Bedford County, including the commissioners, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
At the turn of the 19th century, Bedford was a small but growing frontier town in the southwestern Alleghenies. The opening of the West had begun, and along with it were families eager to start a new life. Among them was Demetrius Gallitzin, an unassuming but dynamic Roman Catholic priest whose mission was to evangelize the region for the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Father Gallitzin was eager to form a new church in this bustling town called Bedford. With the assistance of some willing Catholics, in 1816 he established a new parish called St. Thomas the Apostle. The new church on East Street at the end of the borough was small but functional. Years and two more church buildings later, St. Thomas the Apostle would grow to a major moral and community force in Bedford. St. Thomas the Apostle celebrates 200 years of continuous and faithful service to Bedford County. We hope you will join us in celebrating this significant bicentennial with the parish family. St. Thomas the Apostle, serving Bedford County since 1816.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. Long before electronic ignitions, in-dash entertainment, alloy wheels, and moonroofs, our family has provided your family with worry-free transportation and reliable service. One of the great things about living in Bedford County is that all of us still appreciate personal service and the value of a reputation. So many things we want today are measured only by appearance and price. At Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, we strive to do more for you so that we can succeed. In all the years we've been in business, we've never lost sight of the fact that purchasing a car is a big deal for any family, including my own. Your car or truck is your connection to the outside world, whether it be your job, church, or family. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru understands your needs, and that is why we invite you to visit us first. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car or truck is always worry-free.
This is Betty Slayton, president of BCDA, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned to Everett and to the Lampire Biological Laboratories, and our guests are Gary Klinger and Greg Krug, and they've been very gracious in letting me interrupt their busy day to do this today. Before the break, gentlemen, we were talking a little bit about the Bedford County Technical Center. There is another outfit in Bedford County that really is making a real infrastructure impact, and that is the Bedford County Development Association, headed up by Betty Slayton. I know that she's got this huge industrial park pad that they're going to market to a future outfit. REI is sitting on one. The Walmart Distribution Center is sitting on one. I believe you here are in one of their industrial parks.
Yes, we are.
Tell me about Betty, and has she helped you at all since you've been here?
Couldn't have done it without her. Yeah. She's fantastic. Yeah. She's literally walked us through Harrisburg to help put the special financing programs together that initially got us started here and work with us. From day one, Betty's been a major impact. But the introductions that she does go way beyond just financing. There's the development of the international business and setting up relationships, different opportunities that we've had on the training program that we just talked about a few minutes ago. You know, it was directly Betty's support in that to make that happen, to make sure that it got the support that we needed. It was a $10 million grant, I believe, that we brought into the school. And, you know, again, without her support, it wouldn't have happened. And it's, you know, making the connections, you know, whether it's political, it's community, if it's, you know, with the university. Penn State has, you know, been great, but, you know, a lot of introductions. And her reach is very far. You can be in Bucks County and they know about Betty Slayton.
Yeah.
And it's just tremendous. She's been a tremendous support and has helped many diverse businesses here. That's another thing about Bedford County. We have diversification here. There are a lot of different opportunities.
Well, we had an opportunity to interview Betty. We're going to go back and maybe do it again because I talked to her about a year ago, and she was telling me about the new parks and so forth that she's trying to put up. And you know, every county has one of these organizations, but they're not all the same. So we're lucky to have her because she's so energetic. And the thing I found most interesting is her connection to agriculture is direct.
Yes.
She herself is actually has a small farm herself and has experience from that, from the Midwest. So it's
And her husband's the past president for the Pennsylvania Beef Council.
Yeah, so that's got to be helpful for you to at least be on the same page when you guys are talking about some of this stuff. The impact you've made on Bedford County has been illustrated by you very well. But one of the things I wanted to ask you is that maybe Gary could help me with this. Gary, how many people do you have in the whole facility here in Everett?
Overall in the facility, we're probably at about 60 to 70, somewhere in that range, including part-time people.
So you guys are a serious employer here.
I mean, considering we started when I came out, probably about 40 total.
Yeah.
You know, that's roughly 10 years ago. We've added about 25 to 30 overall.
And the second employee that we hired when we first came out here, when my manager came, we first came here to the farm in 1989. The second person that she hired is still with us.
Job retention is great. I mean, it sounds like a wonderful place to work. We're in their beautiful conference room here, which they have some beautiful art on the walls and so forth. And I would just like to come here for lunch and work here. This would be great. I don't gather this is the lunch room, but it's pretty nice.
You do.
Oh, good. This is great. Well, I think it's wonderful to have a standalone business like this because oftentimes people think, well, in Bedford County, all we have is fast food joints at the interchanges and not much employment. And so, I guess what I'm trying to find out from the economic impact is, okay, you've got this business, you've got 60-plus employees, you've got infrastructure, you pay heat and rent bills, you do all these things. Who sells to you? In other words, there's got to be additional businesses that are benefiting as a result of you being here. Trucking? I don't know. Is there other?
We do a lot with the UPS and FedEx, but where the community helps and supports this opportunity that we have out here very strongly. We rely on them heavily. Our feed company, Morrill's Feed, we've been with them since day one, and they've done a tremendous job working with us, but also other groups. There are many there. I remember our first time we were working with a cleaning service, believe it or not, was great at referring people and helping us to find the local community people to work with. Our support that we get in HVAC, there's a gentleman who recently retired, Gary Sipes, who has just been a tremendous adversary again of Lampire and helped us out. We work 24/7, and so does Gary. I mean, he was there for us in the middle of the night. If we lose our air handling systems, our refrigeration systems, it's devastating.
Yeah, it just occurred to me, of course, HVAC, this is a critical component.
Right.
You lose this, Gary, you're out of business. So you must have some kind of backup systems here
backup
as well.
Backup systems, alarms, backup generators, everything.
Gee whiz.
Even our backups have backups. We have cellular backups for our alarm systems in case the phone lines go down.
Well, that's pretty serious impact because economic impact because you have not just HVAC, but people that got to be Johnny on the spot to get here in a hurry should you need them, skilled labor, things of that nature. So that's why I'm always delighted to talk to companies like you because every small business contributes to the county, and you are certainly one of the larger ones here. And we are speaking to Lampire Biological Laboratories, and with us is Gary Klinger and Greg Crew. Tell me about the future, Greg, of the whole biopharma business. It seems like that's all we hear today on the news. Medical this, medical that, discoveries, new serums, new drugs, goes on and on. I think it makes our heads spin, but we're in a very exciting era, aren't we?
Definitely. What's happened in our lifetime, Lloyd, is just tremendous. If you think about, we were growing up, the antibiotics had made a major difference. Polio vaccinations, we're all young. Crookes and Watson, discovery of the DNA. One of them is still alive in Cold Spring Harbor Laboratories out there on Long Island. And to think of all this taking time, what it's opened up in the genome, what you're hearing today when you hear about the CRISPR technology that's coming out and all these new avenues, it's just very exciting to be alive. It's very important to us. Gary and I both share the fact that we can come to work every day and know that we're helping people around the world. In a time when, there's so much, going on, people become more aware of their their health. Personalized medicine is definitely that. It's, you know, really getting very unique. And we're happy to be able to keep growing and changing with the times.
What about some of these pathogens and viruses that pop up, like the Zika virus is in the news right now? You guys have any impact on that kind of thing? Maybe not that one specifically, Gary, but...
Yeah, I mean, we could be making antibodies for diagnosing them.
Right.
We might be using the animals to come up with some sort of antibody to hopefully shut the virus down in the pathway. Right. So we don't know that all the time because we contract our services out, but we also have some of our own products, and we are working material very right. similar.
Something like this could pop up tomorrow,
yep.
and you guys would might right. marshal your resources to try to do something about it.
You know, our clients are not just the pharma industry. We work right. with the, you know, the Center for Disease Control, the National Institute of Health, USDA, FDA. We're working with these groups, you know, especially when there's crises coming up. And, you know, just as a side, like one of the interesting things, you know, of monitoring some of the diseases that you were talking about, for example, our turkey blood has mm-hmm. become very, very popular yeah. with the CDC and testing for certain things.
Have you ever worked for the, like the University of Pennsylvania's new Bolton Center and people like that at all? I mean, I know they're a big vet center.
We work with New Bolton, University of Pennsylvania.
Right.
We work with universities around the world. And it's important that some of our regulatory issues make it so that these groups can get funding from the NIH. So we have to have certain certifications, and so that when they get their grant monies that they can work with companies like Lampire.
Okay, I want to ask you a couple of technical questions, at least technical to me. I noticed when I came into the building, this is a secure facility. Well, Greg, I noticed there was a quote from you in one of your informational materials about getting people to do it right the first time and then every time afterwards. Is that about the safety as well, or just quality control in general? Or
it's all of the above.
Yeah.
You know, we take it very seriously. As a matter of fact, one of the first things they learned, to add to what Gary said, is documentation. In other words, you know, their initials, their signature means a lot, and we try and teach them that. And communication, to communicate. In other words, you know, there are things that they'll notice. We teach them to be scientists very early on. So if they see something doesn't look right or they see something different happening, we want that communicated and shared. And that's another great thing about being out here, that you get that honesty, that openness, and, you know, desire to learn.
I agree. I see it not just in the moral fabric of the people here, but if you actually give them something to do, they do it. They're like guys on a submarine where they learn all the jobs because
right.
they have to.
Right. right. And also yeah. cross-training from goes not just from the lab internally, but from the lab to the farm and the farm to the lab. Mm-hmm. So people have come on and started maybe at the farm facilities, but then taken opportunities at the lab and vice versa.
Is there a lab at the farm facility or is it just here?
It's just here now.
I see. So you bring raw product in from the farm. Mm-hmm. All right, I got to ask you this. What are the llamas about?
The llamas have a very unique antibody structure, something that's different and makes it a great antibody use, especially for the type of test that Gary was talking to you about, that like the over-the-counter pregnancy test. When you're going into parts of the world where it could be temperature sensitive, the antibody that we produce in llamas is very heat stable, and that becomes very important in the diagnostic.
I see them over at the Fisher's Farm Market. They have some llamas outside next to the Fisher's Farm Market. So that's the first llamas I saw in Bedford. And now I can see them all. I'll go down to your place and see a bunch of them, right?
Yeah, there's quite a few over there.
Our guests are Gary Klinger and Greg Krug. And we have just a few minutes, and I want to make sure we haven't missed anything here. Greg, is there anything we missed about this?
No, we'd just like to give our thanks to the community for welcoming us. And, you know, since 1989, it's been a joy to be out here.
Well, I can tell you that you're in for a real treat if you visit. And if you're interested in a job opportunity, what would they do, Gary, if somebody wanted to get into this? What kind of training do they need to have to come into this place?
We hire anywhere from high school all the way through PhD. So, I mean, you might not even need experience in the sciences, depending on what position we're hiring for mm-hmm. at that time.
But if you've got a bright young man or young girl that wants to come in
and
learn this,
they can come into the lab here and talk to me. If they're interested in the position, we can talk about what's open. They can always check our website, www.lampire.com. Job postings are there as well.
Okay.
and that will give them information as to what's available right now.
And we also offer internships. People that are going to school, they're looking for an internship to see if this is a career that they might be interested in. We do offer internships.
And you've got a larger outfit here. If somebody does well in Everett and they want to move to your other facilities, they've got that opportunity, I assume?
Yes. It's gone both ways. Again, yeah. We've had people from out there come out here. We've actually had employees back there that came out here to retire, you know, after they finished at Lampire. So it's...
Well, I want to repeat the website. It's Lampire, LAMPIRE.com. And if you would like to learn more about that, go on the website and you can get all their information, including their phone numbers and Gary and everybody. Well, you've both been terrific. I think you've been great. I just thank you very much for doing this. And you guys have just been super. I really am sure we didn't miss anything because I'm just so excited to be here. I was going to come. So, okay, good. Well, thank you. And Craig, thank you very much. And Gary, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru on Route 220 in Bedford, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.